Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kane from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 4, we really are still on the same thought that Paul's been dealing with about the divisions in the body of Christ. This thought starts back a little earlier. If you want to look at chapter 3, just to get a gist of where he's coming from, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, he said, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere men?" So he tells us here about the quarreling that was going on in the body of Christ over who was going to be the guy that they would follow, or they were claiming as their great leader, you know, who had brought them to the Lord or helped them grow in the Lord. And they would say, I'm from following him. I'm one of his students. And it actually goes back even further in chapter 1. If you want to look back to chapter 1 in the same book, and down to verse 10, he says, "I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' another, 'I follow Apollos,' another, 'I follow Cephas,' and still another, 'I follow Christ.'" So we see that Paul has been dealing with this issue of divisions in the body of Christ, and it's over their attitude, basically, that someone is saying, "I'm a follower of this person, so I'm better than you are." And that was the kind of quarreling and bickering that was going on. And I just wanted you to see how long he's been dealing with this, because it tells us something. The Lord is very serious about divisions in the body of Christ. I mean, look how long he's been focusing on this. It's in chapter 1. That's where he kind of starts off dealing with some of the issues in the church at Corinth. And it continues all the way through. Now we're in chapter 4, and he's still dealing with this issue. And that, like I said, that tells me that God is very serious about these divisions in the body of Christ, especially when a lot of it is just over attitude. The Lord is not pleased with that at all. So we're going to continue on that thought that he has in chapter 4. He says in verse 1, "So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God." And what he's saying here is, no matter which leader you're talking about, whether it's Paul, whether it's Apollos, whether it's Cephas, no matter who it is, you should look at us as servants of Christ. And we were talking about this last week some, how that a servant in our culture today would be considered more of like a waiter or a waitress when you go to a restaurant. And he says, that's what I want you to look at us like. Look at those leaders who have been feeding you the Word of God as simply waiters and waitresses, because that's what they are in the Lord's eyes. And then he says, he's basically saying, not as leaders, you know, of some group they're trying to start. That's not what they are. They're servants of Christ. Then he goes on and says, "And look at them as those entrusted with the secret things of God." Now, you might have a different translation that calls it being stewards here, being stewards of the secret things of God or the mysteries of God. And the steward there, just to give you an idea of what he's trying to get across here, a steward was a servant who was responsible for taking care of the master's household. That's what the steward was. And the steward had the responsibility on that side that make sure that the family, the children were fed, make sure that the finances were kept up in order and things like that. So they had a lot of responsibility, but they were still a servant, okay? So he said, as far as we're concerned, those who are teaching you the Word of God, those who are over you in leadership, I want you to look at us as waiters of Christ, as servants of Christ, and also as those stewards, those who are entrusted with the secret things of God. So they're responsible to make sure God's message, and he calls it the secret things of God because the world doesn't know about it. They don't understand. You know, he's talking about believers who have been given the things that are secret to the rest of the world, but have now been handed out and revealed to the body of Christ. So he said, that's how you should look at us. Now, I noticed something here as I looked at this closer. He says that they're servants of Christ, meaning we're servants. He's the boss. He tells us what to do, and we do what we're told. He tells us to take his message and to pass it out, and that's what we do. So he's the boss. It's his stuff we're doing, okay? He goes on and says, as stewards of the secret things that belong to who? Of God. And I think his subtle point he's trying to get here is, look, everything that's done is of the Lord, you know? It's his message. We're just delivering his stuff to you. That's all we're doing. So there should be no reason for you to say, well, I like this teacher, and I don't like this teacher, you know, and I'm of this teacher, and you're not of this teacher, and all these kind of things. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. Everything's of the Lord, you know? And he's going to deal with that issue a little bit closer still as he gets in further. But the thing he's trying to get across is, this is all God's stuff. Don't look at the messenger, you know? Don't focus on the messenger. Pay attention to the message of what God is giving you, okay? He goes on here, and he says in verse 2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So he said if they're a steward, if they've been given a job to do, then the thing they must do on their part is they have to be faithful with what they've been given to do, all right? Now, I know why he's coming to this as he gets a little closer here, because he says, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. And he's saying here that, what is the test that I'm going to be given? Am I faithful with what God has given me to do? And he said, I don't care if you want to judge me on that or not. That doesn't make any difference to me. And it's kind of like the servants are going to judge the servants kind of thing. You know, he said there's a judge who's going to come, and he tells us that in verse 4, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. So he says, when it comes to my faithfulness as a steward of what God has given me to do, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what other people think. It matters what does God think. Have I been faithful with what he has given me to do? Now that again is a serious warning to teachers, those who want to take the word of God and open it for God's people. And it's a reminder to us teachers that this is all of the Lord, and we do what we're told to do. We handle it very carefully as we hand it and take care of the Lord's business, but we keep our hands off of it. You know what I'm saying? Where we're not the focus, we're not seeking the attention, we're not up there doing these things because it's not about us. It's about the Lord. It's about his things. So these warnings I take very seriously here. It's a little scary on the side of the teacher that, hey, God's just using you as a tool, but you're going to be responsible. Did you do what God said to do? So he's talking about the teachers they had in their church too. It's a warning to them that, hey, the Lord is going to judge you one day. And as you stand before the Lord, he's going to say if you've been faithful or not. Other people might be fooled. They might say, oh man, that guy was really faithful. But when he stands before the Lord, Jesus is going to say, now you know you were doing that for you. You weren't doing that for me. You know, and the Lord will step in and correct those things. Now it goes on in verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and he will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. So the Lord is telling us, you know, to be careful in how we look at those who are teaching the word of God, because he says they're just a servant, they're just a steward, they've been told to do this by the Lord, they've been called to that job, and as they do that, they're going to answer to him. And as far as we're concerned, we don't have to worry about looking at this teacher and saying, well, I don't like this teacher, and I like this teacher, and I like this one, I don't like this one. We don't have to go through all that and think that our words are going to have anything to them, because Jesus is coming, and he will judge their real motives. Okay? And that's what he tells us here. He will expose the motives of men's hearts. And he says, at that time, each will receive his praise from God. Now, what was going on in their fellowship right there? They were praising their teachers, okay? But that praise was coming from men, okay? It wasn't coming from God. And what he is saying, that don't be picking sides and choosing sides now and say, I'm a follower of this one or I'm a follower of this one. It'd be best to say, I'm a follower of the Lord. Because whether you say, this guy is the greatest man, this is the greatest stuff here, the Lord is saying, my words might be a little different than yours. You know, he might be fooling you, he's not fooling me. I was in a preaching class one time, and there was a guy there who was a gifted speaker, okay? And the teacher we had was in the back of the room, and he gave us all a chance to get up and present our lesson we had. And as we did that, he was grading us in the back, and then he would come up and make comments, you know? So there was a little pressure on you as you're among all these other folks who are wanting to learn how to preach better and be more effective. And as this was going on, we had this guy come up who was a gifted speaker, okay? And he got up there, and he went through his thing and everything. And as soon as he was done, the teacher came almost roaring from the back of the classroom saying, you're not getting away with that here. He said, you might fool other people, but you're not fooling me. He said, you're going to have to use content, you know. What you say is what I'm going to grade you on, not how you do this, you know. And the guy was such a gifted speaker, and he knew it, you know. So he was getting up there and basically blowing smoke, you know. And it didn't fool the teacher. He was thinking, there's no way. You might fool people at church. You're not fooling me, you know. And he put him on the spot and let him know. And I thought, well, that was good, you know, because he might have saved him having to stand before the Lord one day and hearing that same thing, that you didn't do what I told you to do. You put a show on. You were just getting people to look at you. So the Lord cautions us here not to be picking these teachers and just pointing at one or the other and saying, you know, this one I like, this one I don't like, or for whatever reason. So the point is, God is going to give the praise to his servants. We don't have to worry about whether we think one is better than the other or not. That's really up to the Lord on those things. In verse 6, now brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. So Paul was really giving them a lesson here. And he says, I've applied this to myself, I've applied this to Apollos, that you might learn something from this. So he's basically saying, I'm not just trying to pick on me and Apollos and put us on the spot here. I really want you to learn something. Because he knows there's a problem in this church. These people, because of their background, because of probably their culture that surrounds them, they're used to that celebrity kind of thing. So they're easy to pick and choose who is their guy or their teacher, you know, their celebrity. So this is a good caution for us. We need to be real careful, you know, about who we're putting up there. There are some programs on TV where the teachers that you hear there supposedly presenting the Word of God, they're just snowing people. You know, that's why I put a plug in for our class here we have on Thursday night. It really helps you to get into the Word to check these things out for yourself. So when somebody throws something at you, you know, from the television or even some radio program, you don't have to just swallow it and say, well, man, it sounded really good. No, as we get into the Word and we check it out, we can say, wait a minute, that sounded okay, but that's not what the Bible says, okay? So we're not trying to learn to be critical, but we are trying to have discernment so we know what is truth and what is not. So it's really important for us to get in the Word and stay there and learn, what does God say? And God has blessed the church with teachers. He says that in his Word, that pastors and teachers are part of the gift God has given to the body of Christ to help people understand God's Word. And it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. You see, the Lord used prophets back there to explain his Word to the people and help them understand. So there's nothing wrong with being a teacher. So if God's called you to that, I'm saying don't be afraid and not show up for that one, okay? If he's called you to that, then you need to step up and do what he said to do. But just realize there's a responsibility with that. And the Lord says the time's going to come where he is going to judge us based on our motives of our heart. Have we done it his way? Or have we done it our way? And the caution for us as believers is not to get in struggles and fights over who you're a follower of or who you're not a follower of. Okay? So here's something I have gotten from the passage here as we've been looking at this. Our judging before the appointed time. And look back again at verse 5 again, because this is a command given to us. It says, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. And the Lord is cautioning you and me not to get into this, okay? Because our judging before the appointed time can cause divisions in the body of Christ. And that's something you want to be careful of, okay? Now, whoever you're listening to, whether it's radio, TV, whoever it is, make sure you check it out with the Word, okay? See what it, if they, what they're telling you really is the Bible truth, okay? So that's a caution for us. But again, if we're not careful with this, we can cause divisions in the body of Christ. Now, there are teachers, that some that I really get into, I really like, and there are some that I have a harder time with, okay? But no matter who it is, I have to check it out with the Bible. Is this really what God said? We all have to do that. We can't get away from that one and say, well, I don't need to check it anymore. Yes, please continue to check it. Because I tell you what, even some of the good teachers I've heard on the radio, I assume they figure, well, I've read this story so many times, and they kind of skim it. And sometimes they're a little off with what they're saying about the details of the story. So there's a caution for us. Don't get too cocky, you know. We continue to study the Word, and we need to continue to be fresh with the Word of God so we know what it says, so nobody fools us, okay? Because there's deception out in the world, and the enemy's out there, and he doesn't mind using a little truth to get you to follow someone, and then he twists it and turns it at the end. He's not beyond that. So it's important for us to know the Word of God. That's why we study, and that's one of the things we focus on, verse-by-verse teaching, so we stick with what the Word says, and we can clearly see that's what it says. And you notice, we try to stick close to that. As we're teaching, we try to make sure you can see it yourself, that it's not something I made up or added, but you can actually see, well, that is what the Bible says. And that's important. And if ever there's a time where you say, well, you know, you said that, but that's not what it says, please tell me, okay? Because I don't mind talking about Scripture. If you want to come up and say, I think you missed something there, that's fine. Because if it's here in the Word, we're both going to see it. Okay, God's given us the eyes to be able to look at it and to understand it and see what it says, and we can agree on that. Okay, so whoever you listen to, make sure you check in out with the Word. Now, there's somebody we know that he's a brother in Christ, and we kind of have a running rivalry just kidding around with the Bible teachers, okay, because he has his, quote, favorite Bible teacher, and we usually put his Bible teacher down when he's around just to give him a hard time, you know. But we haven't got divisions over this. It hasn't caused us to separate or anything. We're just having a good time. So I'm not trying to make this a legalistic thing, you know, where you're saying, oh, I can't mention a teacher or anything like that. No, I think I told you last week, listen to the teachers that God has blessed us with. Because, you know, with the KTBJ radio station, there are some good teachers on there that really help you. I mean, they minister to me, and I get fed from some of the stuff that they're teaching. But, and like I said, the television, you might find a few good ones on there. And some of them you got to be really careful of, because they got a lot of fluff, but not much stuff, okay? So you want to make sure and check it out with the Word. So don't stay away from teachers. I'm saying listen to teachers. Just get in the Word, too, and see what the Word says. And we're safe with that. As it tells us here, don't go beyond what is written. What the Lord has blessed us with in His Word, it's got to stick right there. It's got to stick with that. But He says if we look at people the way God tells us right here, we won't take pride in one person over another. And we won't have a problem in our fellowship having divisions, okay? I know there are some great teachers out there, and man, use those things that God has blessed us with. I don't know if you thought about this. We are so blessed in our country that we have Bibles everywhere. We have Bible teachers that are on the airwaves all over the place. There are a lot of places in the world they don't have all that. So we truly are blessed. Now, the other side of that, I think, is we're going to be held accountable, too. You know, the Lord's going to say, well, I had you grow up in America, you know, and you were surrounded by Bible everywhere. So when we stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't know that was the wrong thing to do, He's going to say, come on now. You had the Word. I gave that to you. So we'll be responsible for what we've been given also. Let's go on to verse 7. For who makes you different from anyone else? Now, here's a situation that happened because of where they had been, okay? Since these people had chosen sides, and they would say, I am of Apollos, you know, and they'd have that badge on them, and I'm sure they'd throw their chest out a little further when they heard the name Apollos, you know, well, that's my guy, that's my teacher kind of a thing. Because of that, they had spiritual pride. And that's a natural outcome when people start picking their teachers and saying, oh, I'm a follower of his. And now they walk around, and anybody who says, well, I listen to this guy, and it's like, oh, you just listen to that guy, you know, well, I listen to the big guy, you know, or something like that. When we're that way, we end up with spiritual pride. And that's what he's going to deal with here. And man, look at this. The Lord comes hard against this one, okay? Verse 7, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Here's the thing with us and what we receive from the Lord, okay? It's the servant that God is using that maybe you've chosen to follow. And they're the ones who have been used by God to present God's word to you. But guess what? It's still God's word, and it's still God who's speaking through them. Okay? So no matter who we might choose to say, well, I follow this person, and we might have a little spiritual pride. I know all their teaching and everything they've done, you know. Well, with that pride you have, you're causing yourself some issues now. Now you're not going to be too useful. You're going to be a detriment. You're going to cause divisions if you're not careful in bragging about who you follow and what you know. So Paul here is saying to these folks, you received this. You didn't come up with it yourself. And if you received it, why do you act like you didn't? And this is an amazing thing from the Lord, okay? When you understand anything from the Word of God, it doesn't matter who is teaching it to you, whoever it was God who was speaking to you. He's the one who got his message across to you. And I'm amazed at some of the, you know, I'll have the radio on and I'll catch some speaker, maybe somebody I don't get to listen to too often. Might even be somebody that doesn't thrill me, you know, as I don't, the thing that I may have a difference with is probably their style of teaching. It's just a little different. As long as they're presenting the Word of God, it's good stuff, okay? But even as I'm listening to somebody, it's like the Lord just gives me something through that. He pokes me in the heart or shows me something, you know, I need to correct or something going on. And that's God speaking to me, okay? And God does that with you too. So it's not the teacher. It really doesn't matter who the teacher is. God is going to speak through them. You know, I seem to remember pretty often about the Old Testament story where the Lord used an animal and spoke through the donkey, you know. So it's a reminder that God can speak through anybody. He doesn't really need us, you know. If he needed to, if no one else was around, he would use an animal, okay. And probably the dumbest animal you could think of is one he might use. So it encouraged us not to get too prideful, thinking, wow, God spoke through me. Well, he spoke through animals too, so how good did you really do? You know? But it's a caution for us. Don't focus on that person. If you got anything, guess what? It came from the Lord. That was just the vessel God was using to get it to you. So keep your focus and praise on him. So it goes on then in verse 8. Already, you have all you want. He's talking to these people with all their spiritual pride. They think they know it all, okay? He says, already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings. And that without us. He says, how I wish that you really had become kings so that we might be kings with you. Boy, a lot of sarcasm there. I said, I wish you guys were as smart as you thought you were because you would be rulers someplace by now. And because we know you, we'd be ruling with you. So he's getting on about this. He says in verse 9 here, for it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die in the arena. Now here he's going to tell us something about the apostles, something about those guys who gave their lives to present the word of God, that churches like the one at Corinth here might exist, that they might hear the good news about Jesus, that they might be able to grow in the Lord. And he's going to tell us something about them. He says, you know, it seems like us apostles, we were at the end of the line. We're at the back of the parade. We're not up front when you start the parade to get all the fancy stuff everybody wants to see. They put us at the very back. And we're almost like guys that are on death row. We're condemned to die in the arena. He said, that seems like, from what my standpoint, as Paul says, what I've been through kind of looks like it, you know. You guys have everything going for you, you think. We're the ones who have been through some struggles here, and we don't think we have what you guys have. So it's kind of like, how'd you guys get to that point, you know? And it goes on to say here, we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. So it's kind of like everybody's watching the apostles, and they don't look too good. I mean, they're the ones having a rough time. He says in verse 10, "We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ." And there's some sarcasm here, and he's using it to let them see what they are acting like. Because can you imagine the Apostle Paul? We would never call him a fool, right? Because of the great wisdom he's given us from the Lord, how God has used him. But he said, we're fools for Christ. People look at the apostles coming in town, and they were getting upset with them. They were beating them. You know, we saw that in the book of Acts. They had a really rough way to go. They didn't have a parade when Paul came into town and walked into the synagogue and started to tell them about the Messiah, that he had come, and you missed him, by the way. No, they weren't too thrilled to see him. So he took a lot of abuse over that. He says, man, we're fools for Christ, but you guys, you're so wise in Christ. Now, I hate to say this, but man, you know, as you walk into some churches today, you can see people who might give this appearance, you know, that we've got it all together in Jesus, you know. And when I see those people, I'm thinking, oh, man, you're making me nervous here, because this is the kind of church we see at Corinth. These people thought they had it all together, and we are spiritual giants in Jesus, you know. And it concerns me, because Paul was saying about him, the apostle, what was he considered? He's considered a fool for Christ. Sad thing, too, Paul was considered a fool by some of the churches. Some of the churches that he had helped start, that he had shed blood over in those cities as he got beaten. He literally shed his blood. That's right.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will